Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Giles Corran Has No Idea. It's called this not because I literally know nothing, but because it's all about the moment in the week when I have to sit down and write my column but have absolutely no idea what to write it about. Which is where my wife Esther comes in, who, having read all the papers whilst I take the kids to school, always has half a dozen ideas picked out for me when I get back to be discussed at the kitchen table over a nice cup of coffee.
Morning.
Morning, darling.
Hi.
Hello, Ben.
Hi,
hello.
Ben.
Hello.
Nice to be back here in the new year. Yeah. Ben's got some news.
Yeah, what's your news, Ben?
Oh, well, I got engaged.
Yay!
Ben got engaged. This is stuff that's going on the Insta live feed but might not make... No, you'll put it into the podcast.
No, he won't.
It's the most exciting it's happened in ages. Have you got engaged recently, darling?
I got engaged coming up for 10 years ago now.
And how 11... did that pan out for you?
It was... I'll let you know next year.
What did you say?
I said, yeah, all right then.
Did he go down on one knee?
No.
Didn't he?
No.
Did he buy you a beautiful ring?
Yes.
Do you ever wear it?
No, because it's too big.
Because you might get a better offer.
I said, get me the biggest goddamn ring in that shop. I don't care if it's yellow and cracked and full of grit. I want a massive ring. And it turns out it's too massive to like do anything with. So it lives in the safe.
Well, it's too massive to do anything with. But then we have a handful of super rich friends whose rings are so big.
Yeah.
That they go, oh, what's that thing you got on your... And it's a bit embarrassing that it's so small.
No, it's not. It's that they wear a kind of stack of kind of multiple rings that they've got. But they wear them as a sign that they literally don't do anything because they can't because they're wearing too many rings.
So it's like with men and their penises and their cars.
Well, yes.
I drive a very small car.
You sure do. Sometimes I look at it on the street and think, that really is the smallest car. And the Ford Fiesta is a very small car.
But
I
that's
love
better than
Fiesta.
Me walking into the bedroom after a shower going, ah, and you going, that really is the smallest. maybe you do think it, but you don't say it. Why have you got three rings on?
These are my new
rings. Five gold rings. Bit late for that.
Also, can I... Yeah.
Top gag. Ben laughed. When a Gen Zer laughs at your five gold rings gag.
These are my new rings. This one and this one. And I exchanged... You know that thing, that ring you got me for Christmas? They couldn't, oh, look at your little face.
Fucking hell. What? You mean, so you've come back and you've not only just dumped the sweat, the hoodie I gave you, the pinky ring's gone as well.
Well, they didn't have my size. And I said, my husband said maybe you could order
it. And what about the ring?
Well, I exchanged it for this one and this one.
I thought you wanted a pinky ring.
I do, but they didn't have one I liked. And the ones that I liked were like 700 quid. And I just thought, no.
No, it's fine. I'm kidding. Basically, I grew up in a house where you handed presents over and everyone went, oh, that's lovely. And we all went, oh, you can change it. If it's not right, I'm sorry, you can change it. We never did. And we put it away and never talked about it again. Esther grew up in a house where they didn't really give presents. No. But, okay.
Well, okay, fine.
Column ideas. Who do we want to be leader of the Labour Party?
Obviously I wanted to be Keir Starmer.
My wife wants Keir Starmer.
Because his wife is my friend, so...
Because Keir Starmer walks past our house from time to time, Keir Starmer could be the third Labour leader in a row to be our actual neighbour.
Yeah.
And Miliband is like Esther's pointing that way, but
it's actually there.
And we see him all the time, like in the coffee shop and stuff.
Yeah.
And in between Corbyn, his constituency is just at the top of our road, and he was my next door neighbour in Archway for about 3 years. And none of them have won power. So what the Labour Party needs to do, if it wants to get back in, I don't care whether it's Rebecca Long-Bailey, the continuity Corbyn candidate. I don't care whether it's that nice Jess Phillips, who like everyone loves and is really great on Twitter. Don't
get a leader who's my fucking neighbour.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they won't win an election.
No.
They just, because I write about them all the time. And I did, every time they get a new one, it was the same with Miliband, it was the same with Corbyn. I write about how they're a neighbour of mine. Corbyn, I did a selfie with.
Yeah,
remember up at the
that.
Football, Corbyn, yeah. Old magic grandpa, doesn't know who I am.
Yeah.
Public enemy number one. Doesn't know that I work for Murdoch, doesn't know that I work for The Times. He does a selfie with me. I then post it up and basically his support falls away because, oh my God, he lives near Giles Corran.
Yeah, he's obviously just like...
He's obviously...
It's like the opposite for restaurants. Any restaurant near you like does really well.
But any politician
any
near
politician
me,
is like toast.
And I can't afford to live where the Tory politicians live. Just no chance. Actually, Bozza lives in Islington, doesn't he?
Boris used to live... I don't know.
But like Cameron lives in Belgravia.
I think he lives in Westminster.
Downing Street. Yes, exactly. That's the thing. You move into Downing Street, I'm not your neighbour. How about that? How about my neighbours and how... What about my role in destroying the Labour Party?
What's that? Sorry, I've forgotten his name. The one...
It's a lot of name forgetting you're doing.
I know, it's my migraine.
Your migraine was a month ago.
Spike Milligan. Hitler, my role in his downfall. So it could be the Labour Party, my role in its downfall.
Yes.
Don't live anywhere near me because I am a cooler. You're like an election cooler. How are you going to stretch that to like a thousand
probably not.
Words?
While you were looking for another idea, have you got one for me?
Well, I've got loads, but the idea that it's like how to kind of spread it out over the thing is the problem.
Okay.
So the fake beasts... at the Natural History Museum. I think even I've had enough of Harry Potter now. Have you seen that? So the Natural History Museum have got a new exhibition called the... page 25 of today's Daily Mail. Top Museum puts Harry's magic beasts in spotlight. Fictional creatures from the world of Harry Potter are to be the centrepiece of a new exhibition at London's Natural History Museum. The Natural History Museum, like a place of science, is having a Harry Potter exhibition. The paid-for attraction called Fantastic Beasts, The Wonder of Nature, will show how invented animals such as the Niffler and Demigeese, which is in a book of the Harry Potter series I haven't read, were inspired by creatures in the real world.
Among the Are you saying that you want me to do a menagerie of invented animals?
Yes,
for my column?
Something.
That's got legs. So basically, J.K. Rowling, who I just abhor, who just can't write... What, said Harry, his face a mixture of surprise, hunger and condemnation.
Yeah.
And but people said at least it's got the kids reading again. What they're going to say, at least it's got people interested in science
again. But I just think, I really do think people will go and they will think that the animals are real. I mean, they do. It looks quite real. There's a picture in the Times. There's a picture, but no story in the Times. So here, look, there's a picture of the Erumpent Horn.
Oh, God, I saw that flicking through the paper and thought it was a real horn or something.
Exactly.
Oh, vomit.
Like, people will think they're real animals. I mean, maybe they'll...
The generation of moron youth who voted 74% for Corbyn, largely because they think they live at fucking Hogwarts, because all they've read or know about is Harry Potter. They're going to go there and they're going to have absolutely no notion of the distinction between the two. It's going to be a little bit like mid-Victorians going in the old days and seeing the dinosaur skeletons and not believing it was real because God made the earth in 7 days and he started with elephants.
Yeah.
So where, there's no...
Those alien skeletons they like put in like... I mean, I'm sure there was some kind of weird alien skeleton.
Am I making this up,
Ben? Does that ring a bell? No, Ben, no.
Studio 54, is it a hoax or is it not? Esther, can you focus now?
I am focusing.
Well, your mind's wandering and...
Okay, fine.
What's 9 times 3?
27.
How godlike cats...
Oh, yes.
...are the pets of choice for atheists, was the headline in the Daily Mail. Non-believers try to win affection and approval from felines in the same way as churchgoers. People attending church more than once a week owned... Oh, fuck. 1.4 cats. How incredibly satanic. Which bits did they own? Meanwhile, those who've never attended have 2 cats on average. So that's a lot of cats.
That's a lot of cats
but
in the world.
Non-churchgoers often have 2 cats. You're basically 30% less likely to go to church if you have a cat. And one of the things that people say is, are cats replacing for people the role of God? There's an old saw, I think it's maybe Christopher Hitchens, it's somebody like that, showing the difference between cats and dogs is that if you provide a dog... with food and cuddles and warmth, it will come to the conclusion that you're a god. If you provide a cat with food and cuddles and warmth, it will come to the conclusion that it is a god.
Yeah.
We've got cats,
mm-hmm.
Iris and Mo Tenzing. Do you think they are taking up a role more than a pet for us? Do you think they've changed us?
I think they've changed the whole family. I think they've changed the whole dynamic of the family. I think they've changed you in particular. And I was talking to my therapist about... the way that the cats have changed you. And she said, well, they're therapy animals. And I said, sort of, what do you mean? And she said, well, you know, animals are do provide sort of therapeutic functions for some people. And, you know, I don't think the fish didn't really change your personality particularly, but...
Oh, you say that. We had four fish. As each one died, no one was really moved, and I was quite sad about it. And when the last one, Jaws, who we felt had eaten all three, gradually got very, very ill, and I was sad about it, and no one else cared.
No, because that's because the fish were horrible and ate each other, and it was disgusting. But the cats...
Now, it's interesting you say the cats are therapy, just from the point of view of a column, you say the cats are your therapist. As you know, I mean, the church hates psychotherapy, has always has. In Scientology, it's like the devil. The church doesn't like psychoanalysis because it's an alternative belief system. And if people with things wrong with their lives who used to go to church, and believing in God and going to church is a wonderful and admirable thing, but it grows from a place of human insecurity and uncertainty, a primitive worries about death and where do things come from and the point of things and the meaning of things. And for most of civilization, over the last 5,000 years, when people have asked those questions to themselves, they've gone to church and they said, well, the solution is God. Psychoanalysis came along in the late 19th century, early 20th century, and began to replace it. So you don't.
But doesn't AA have a kind of
religious? Yes.
But also talking therapy aspect to it as well.
Yes, but it's not psychoanalysis. It's not a talk based therapy. So the point is, you're saying now that is interesting. If your therapist says that cats are therapy, that would be a reason, wouldn't it, why people don't go to church? I mean, unless they're just saying it's an excuse for they don't want to go to a long, boring sermon in a cold place.
Sausage rolls afterwards, though.
You do get sausage rolls. Yeah, but if your excuse is not going to stay in and feed the cat. Do you think our cats, you know, I mean, for example, we now take our cats on holiday with us?
Yes, we sure do.
They came along, they were just kittens that we played with and had fun, and we went away. We went away for one weekend and left them with a cat sitter who fed them very perfectly. And then we started taking them with us. And in fact, after we went away to Somerset for the new year, and we were going to go on to Gloucestershire, only an hour away, but two nights without the cats was long enough, and we drove a 350-mile detour to come back here and pick up our cats.
And pick up our cats,
and take them to the countryside. Mm. And we like to take them to the countryside because they love it.
They love the countryside.
And they chase, you know...
They leap about and sniff things and have a marvellous time.
They've learned to catch mice.
They catch little... Yeah. They catch mice, of which there are thousands in the countryside.
Yeah.
We were a bit worried that they, but then we realised they were catching mice that were otherwise doing terrible things.
But I mean, we've devoted most of the kitchen to them. We have about 10 different kinds of food. Mm-hmm. We let them sleep with us, even though it destroys our sleep. Is there a column there? What should it be? Should it be about cat worship? Should it be hymns? Should it be?
I'm very impressed at how. Because Kitty never had dollies when she was little, and she was never interested in kind of cradling anything or putting a dolly in a pram and pushing it around. She's not interested in that at all. Not really interested in, never been interested in cuddly toys or anything. She's got her blanket, she's got her books, and that's it. So I'm impressed at how nicely she does look after the cats. She sees her role as picking their eye bogeys out of their eyes, and she keeps their eyes very clean from eye bogeys, and that's the function that she performs.
I certainly, just glancing past you at Mo Tenzing just snoozing in a sort of sphinx position on the chair, does sort of fill me with love. And, you know, when I'm writing, he always comes and sits across my shoulders like a sort of drape, and I adopt a very uncomfortable position and get a bad back just so as not to have to disturb him. But it does, you know, cuddling him, hearing him, you know, purr.
But the therapy aspect for someone like, with someone with your particular personality, is that the cats are endlessly emotionally available. Well, I say emotionally because cats don't have emotions, but as far as you're concerned, the cats are totally emotionally available to you at all times without placing really any emotional demands on you that you're unable
to meet. They don't say it's claustrophobic and they need a bit of me time.
No.
And a gin and tonic the size of their head.
If they want me time, they just hop down and walk away. And because they're a cat, you don't feel that is a rejection. Whereas if it was a person, you would feel rejected if someone hopped down and walked away and said, I've had enough of this.
Like you going out tonight.
Exactly.
Not so much as to buy your leave.
I literally told you 6 weeks ago I was going out.
Luckily, this evening I have my therapist, so I can talk to her for an hour.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Disposable fashion or fashion and all that is in the news. We were laughing at the horrors of the actresses at the Golden Globes for a start. Let's start with that and work towards disposable fashion and whether we can cure your problem and the nation's problems.
My problem.
Okay, we won't call it your problem. We'll call it the problem of the people in the newspapers, okay?
Oh, is this Lauren Bravo? This,
yes, exactly. Well, don't worry. Don't you look at my homework. I've done my homework. From this point of view, just starting with having been led to this thing, and yes, you know, you've taken back the clothes that I bought you and changed them, and that's fine. Mm. First of all, the Golden Globes, ladies. Have we got the... I mean, some of these.
Yeah. Well, the dressing for all of the award ceremonies is... It's not.
But what does Gwyneth Paltrow think she's doing? Gwyneth Paltrow has got a kind of burlesque performer's outfit, except in brown.
Yeah.
So, and then with a sort of chiffony thing over the top of it, she looks like a sort of exploding tiramisu. Mm. Would you dress like that for a public thing?
I would dress like Gillian Anderson. I would wear the Nicole Kidman thing, and I would wear what lovely Margot Robbie's wearing.
Whereas I'd like to see you in the Salma Hayek outfit.
You'd like to see me with Salma Hayek's boobs in the Salma Hayek outfit. Although mine aren't much smaller, it's true. It's a boring story. You've had a go at
okay,
fashion.
Okay, so no, it's not
you had a go at fashion.
That's just the intro. It's not boring. The point is that one of the stories that caught my eye, girl's head gives herself a green dressing down. A headmistress with a passion for fashion. Who wrote this? Oh, Rosemary Bennett. She's marvellous. Yeah. A headmistress with a passion for fashion and a weakness for dresses has given up buying clothes for a year and inspired her pupils to take on comparable challenges to tackle climate change. So do you think that's a thing you could do?
Yes, I could. I could and I definitely should. So there's your point. You're just saying that to a piece in The Observer magazine by Lauren Bravo.
Could I go a year without buying anything new?
She is a young journalist. I think she's about 26, 27. And she's written this book, How to Break Up with Fast Fashion, which is very good and extremely funny. And I've read it. I had an advanced copy. And she's absolutely correct.
What is fast fashion?
Fast fashion is basically... it's high street stuff, sort of cheaper high street stuff. So it's not a really great coat from Joseph. It's not that you're going to keep for 10 years. It's a pair of, you know, polka dot bell bottoms that you bought because you had PMT.
Are you making up for something missing in your life?
Yes, of course. Most of the
you've got a cat, you've got a therapist. What the fuck is missing?
I've got a husband.
I think that, you know, all compulsive behaviour.
I didn't say husband.
All compulsive behaviour, eating too much, smoking, drinking, gambling, watching pornography. We know we shouldn't do it. It's slightly forbidden. You do it in secret, in private, on your computer. You look and you look and you look and you think, oh, which one? Oh, buy now. Click. Oh, a rush of adrenaline. The afterglow. The shame. Oh my God, I shouldn't have. That's why so much. It's not.
Are you talking?
It's not the items of clothing. It's the act of the buying and the potential possessing of this thing.
Shall I, in terms of trying to find a column,
yes,
then, shall I do a thing going through my wardrobe, the things I can't bear to throw away, which are so awful?
Yes. I've thrown away so many of them for you.
Have you? Well, that's like my parents used to throw my teddy bears away when I wasn't looking. Because I read a thing that the whole bloody papers have just been full of all this sort of women guilty about fashion thing.
Yeah.
Apparently there's a thing that women can do or do where on the January the 1st you put a sticker on every single item of clothing you own.
Yeah.
And anything that still has a sticker on it at the end of the year gets thrown out.
Well, gets given to charity. Although I'm not sure how much charities want piles and piles of clothes anymore. I mean, it depends on what... I mean, as Lauren Bravo points out in her excellent book, it's not just £9 dresses from Boohoo.com and Pretty Little Thing and I Saw It First. It's all of them. All of them use too much water and create carbon and everything. And when you chuck them away, they don't biodegrade or... And nobody wants to buy them. Nobody wants the kind of...
And what also, they go for rags or something. But I could literally go through my wardrobe and talk about... There's the whole thing of the frontline pants. Every time, I mean, this Christmas I asked you to buy me pants because I need some fresh pants, but I cannot throw my old pants away until it's actually completely gone so that my nuts hang out through the bottom of the gusset. I can't bear it. And even if they, you know how they get, so don't you, Ben? You know how like trunk type of shorts, they will, from the general wear of the swinging nads, they will eventually, the gusset will get not worn through but sort of transparent so that it looks, your nuts look like onions in Waitrose, just sort of try, but I can't throw them away in case something happens to all my pants and I've got nothing left but my like 27 pant expeditions ago pants that I can't throw away.
Yeah.
And then I've got things like my Singapore is a fine city souvenir t-shirt.
Yep.
On the back is a man, it says no urinating in lifts, and there's a man pissing. I've been taking it to play five, the sport that I play, because I can't wear it publicly because it's so embarrassing, for 25 years. And every now and again, I use it to mop up mud, which has got, when it rains into the court. And I still can't throw it away.
That's very
washes it and irons it and folds it up. And I can't. Things like that I go throwing. Like my Dead Cert shirt, which, you know.
You're not throwing that away.
Yeah, the shirt that I wore, which it wasn't.
On our first date.
Yeah.
Go through your
wardrobe.
Yes, go through your wardrobe. That's very funny.
Yes, I know.
So I think that's very, very funny. Your history of my life in my clothes. But do you remember the clothes?
I will do the same thing, and I will resolve to wear.
Yeah.
The things that are in there.
Do you remember that tie that had Saint-Tropez written on it and like a motor car on it? I think we got rid of that. And there was that Ralph Lauren.
It wasn't Saint-Tropez. It was Imola or something. It was the name of a racetrack in Italy.
Yeah, that was. So
I'm not defending it. I'm
so
just
disgusting.
Where's my, now you've said that? Where's my Homer Simpson beer tie?
Oh, that went, darling.
Did it?
Yes.
That was a fucking...
There was that very deep red corduroy Ralph Lauren shirt.
No, I loved that.
That shirt. I made you get rid of. I'm really sorry because it's back in fashion now.
Is it?
Yes. Although not that cut. Not that kind of blouson style.
That was 650 francs.
What?
In 1991, which was £65, which was a lot of money in 1991. Yes, I got it free because I was working in Ralph Lauren.
You are also very interesting on the kind of... on the mechanics of the Ralph Lauren sale thing, whereby stock would come in and he would just go sale stock.
The clothes of anything that was half interesting that comes into the store, anything slightly outre, the kind of shit that these ladies are wearing.
Yes,
they would come in and you wouldn't even bother putting it on the shelves. You just save it for the sale because at that price point, nobody will buy that shirt.
Exactly.
The red corduroy was one of them, but I proved them wrong. Have we got the Times? Yes.
It's here. No, hang on. That's yesterday.
Okay, I'd quite like to talk about this. No need for know-it-alls, BBC tells its broadcasters. So Radio 3 bosses are stamping down on an audience gripe about irritating presenters. Not by firing the presenters, but with a ban on what they call presumptuous phrases. So, of course, as we all know, and we all presume that, they want this removed because they have to assume that listeners don't know anything. The guidance makes clear that Sunday Feature, Radio 3's weekly documentary series, is aimed at a, quote, general arts audience and must not presume audience knowledge. The programme has built a reputation for heavyweight documentaries on figures such as Wagner and Camus. Sorry, Richard Wagner, the German composer of operas, and Albert Camus, the French writer of novels such as L'Étranger, who was reported to have played in goal once for the Algerian football team. That isn't really true, so you now know who I mean. Is now looking for pitches on contemporary preoccupations, blah, 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 blah. Ideally, presenters should not be experts. They should, well, that's me in with a chance of working for them.
Yeah, me too.
They should feel like they are sharing their experience, offering their enthusiasms and recommendations, but not lecturing. So the point is they should not presume that the audience knows anything. Would that be a column? A column in which you presume. Should we all do this? Should we never presume? Because you know how sometimes I presume you know things and I go, you saw that story and you go, no. And I go, ugh. You know, you are aware that there is a thing called the monarchy. And that in that monarchy...
It's the old Pulp Fiction thing. You're aware that there is a thing called TV. And on TV, they show things they call shows.
Yeah,
They show shows.
Exactly. So is there a thing... And I think that young people feel othered by... being assumed that they know information when they don't. So I could write a column in which I explain absolutely everything.
But what would the column, what would you...
It would be about this story. It would be about this story. Radio 3. So Radio 3, formerly known as the Light Programme, which is one of the five mainstream channels of the BBC, British Broadcasting Company, which broadcasts on the radio, a small box on a table which picks radio waves out of the air, waves travel in a form.
And you just show what a nonsense it is when you have to assume that somebody knows.
And the whole column kind of eats itself trying to...
I remember in a maths class when I was about 14.
Math being the one with counting.
That's the math.
Classes being the way they break down schools.
In schools.
14 being the age you were.
I was about 14.
Numbers being the thing that we actually get from the Arabic counting system, having previously used the Roman system.
Yes.
Rome being the capital, formerly city-state, that brought civilization to the earth. The earth being a round thing hanging in space. Space being infinite.
Exactly. In maths, I remember the maths teacher saying, write a list of instructions for how to make a cup of tea. And we wrote our list of instructions, which was put tea bag in teacup and pour on boiling water. And then she said, but how about, what else do you do? Don't you have to, where do you get the teacup from? Don't you have to get the teacup out of the cupboard? She was basically trying to say, how far back do you go with instructions? With instructions, where do you start?
Take one hydrogen molecule and two oxygen molecules.
Put them
together. The fuck do you do with those? How do you turn those into water? Just like smash them together and... until you have water.
And she was like, and then you have to turn on the cup, but then you've got to fill the kettle, and then you have to make sure that you don't...
Fill, turning an empty thing into a thing that is not empty.
Yes, exactly. I can see this column has definitely got legs. I think it's...
Legs? The things that attach your body to the floor.
Attach your body to the floor?
Yes. Right. Is that not a definition of legs?
No, why not?
No, but isn't that, you know, I think it's in Alice in Wonderland, a book being a thing with pages, written by Lewis Carroll, being the pseudonym of Charles Dodgson, who was a mathematics lecturer at Trinity College, Oxford, mathematics being the thing we spoke about before.
With numbers.
Had a book, and he had two characters in it, characters being imaginary people that aren't really people that you have in books, which we talked about before, Tweedledum and Tweedledee, and they talked about, and they grew from the top down. Remember? And the point was, it was about if you're 6'3" or whatever, you just have to hope that your legs grow enough to reach the floor.
Is that right?
Because you start with your head. It's something
I've
like
always
that.
Thought Alice in Wonderland was massively creepy and have never actually read it properly.
Excuse for not having read all books.
Well, not all books, but like quite a significant proportion of them look to me creepy and boring.
It is creepy and boring.
Yeah.
Boring being the thing when you're not interested.
Apps, like much like I'm sure our listeners are by now.
Listeners being the lovely people who tune into this show in their droves. You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with Giles Corran and Esther Walker. It's a Times podcast produced by Ben Mitchell. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts to avoid ever missing an episode. And if you want to find out what I wrote about in the end, there's a link to my column in the podcast description.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.